Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The sudden realization in America that there are too many people in jail, that we incarcerate too many people, and that it's not sustainable and has to change, has federal and local governments thinking about radical new sentencing and prison release programs. At the other end of the criminal justice system, where problems of police violence have motivated a questioning of our assumptions about law enforcement, there is another, even more radical idea being floated in communities around the country. In the Liberty City community, a predominantly black neighborhood in Miami with a long history of policing issues, there's been an active discussion of getting rid of police altogether. Late last week, at a meeting organized by the national group Critical Resistance alongside the Power U Center for Social Change, there was a discussion not of chasing police away, but of imagining a police-free community. Self-policing. What would that mean? Far-fetched idea? Nadege Green, reporter for member station WLRN in Miami, attended the Liberty City meeting and says you could hear how there's a new abolitionist movement afoot, where communities are in good faith thinking about taking more responsibility for their own domestic tranquility.
Different people came for different reasons. There were some people there who thought that we don't need police officers. And there were other folks who came with the idea, like I spoke with Francesca Menez, who's a community activist here locally, and she was like, well, this is a good starting point to say we have a problem.
Is there a need for police? In the traditional sense of as police had evolved, which was meant to basically protect the community, yes, but in the current state in which policing is, which is basically resources that we pay for to basically continue to be oppressed.
How enthusiastic were people at this meeting about this whole idea, and what sort of design questions come up when you have to figure out who's going to make these kinds of decisions?
Most of the people who showed up to this meeting either themselves have had negative experiences with police officers or know of someone who has had a negative experience with a police officer. There are some people who just came to hear them out because it is a new way of thinking. It's not something we typically hear of, get rid of police altogether. And so there are people who are curious. There are some people who are more moderate, like Francesca, who said, well, I get that police is here to help us, that they're supposed to be here to help us, but here's our reality in predominantly black neighborhoods. Here's our reality as black men, as black women, as trans individuals, some of whom were part of the workshop. But yes, there were a lot of people there who were, you know, just scratch it all together. We don't need police officers, and let's reimagine how to do that through unarmed intervention teams, through restorative justice, through more resources to mental health care. And as we've seen here in South Florida, in the case of Laval Hall in Miami Gardens, he ended up getting killed by a police officer. And he wasn't a suspect. He was having a mental health episode. Mm. He was schizophrenic. And so a lot of the conversations were around mental health and, you know, how do we get more resources into the community so that you don't need law enforcement for things that aren't necessarily criminal but could lead to something like the Laval Hall case?
Well, let's listen to someone really doing that reexamination, starting that conversation. Here's Jermaine Banks, who's a Liberty City, Miami community member.
It's not really about getting rid of police, but it getting rid of policing as we know it. I remember back in the days when I was going to school, people looked up to police. They wanted to be a police. People growing up now, they're afraid of the police. When they see police, they get terrified and they run. So this is the stuff that we want to try to change and get rid of.
Give me a gut feeling, Nadege Green. You're a reporter for member station WLRN. You know the community. You know the law enforcement issues down there in South Florida. What do you think it would take to get law enforcement seriously involved in a drastic redefinition of what cops do on the streets of a city like Miami?
I mean, I think that conversation has been happening here. I mean, I've interviewed the police chief of Miami, Rodolfo Yanez, and he's talked about increasing community policing. I mean, I recently did a story on a community police officer in the Liberty City area who everyone loves. And so, I mean, out of fairness, not everything is negative, right? Perspective does matter. And I've been out in a community where there are community members who say, we appreciate the police officers in our neighborhood, and they're doing a good job, the good ones. You know, they always say the good ones. However, you know, there are concerns of, you know, police officers who they feel that don't take their jobs the same way or don't approach the job the same way. And so that's a large part of conversation about policing here in Miami that's been going on for some time, is how to get police and the community on the same page, how to build that trust between the community and police officers. And I imagine that's a conversation that'll continue.
Nadege Green is a reporter for member station WLRN. Nadege, thanks so much.
Thank you.
A community without police? Whoa, what do we think about that? Portland, Oregon. The short-term effect of the removal of the police would be more crime, there's no doubt. But 10 years down the line, I believe we would see vast improvements in safety due to public policing of neighborhoods. More investment means more engagement.
This is Tim from Illinois. Without herders, the sheep would be devoured by the wolves. I've been in law enforcement for nearly 30 years, and I challenge anyone to deal with the 10% of society that we continually deal with, and then think for 1 second that we can do without police.
Key West, Florida says, I think anything can work if a community truly comes together.
This is Debbie in Clearwater, Florida. I can't imagine it. I live in Florida. Everyone would be shooting each other for silly things like cutting each other off in traffic or using a cell phone to check on one's child while on a movie date with your spouse. Oh, wait a minute. That already happens. Never mind.
Associate Professor of Politics George Ciccarello Marr at Drexel University in Philadelphia has given this a lot of thought. It's about the healthy questioning of assumptions, he says, asking why do we have so many police? Are we sure we need all of them? And what would society look like without them?
What's clear is that a society without police would look radically different from the society that we have today, in part because it simply would not be the kind of unequal society, the society divided by great socioeconomic disparity and by racism that we live in today, because the police emerge precisely to deal with and to control those kind of divisions in society historically.
That's a casting of the police as being, in some sense, artifacts from the Jim Crow era who are enforcing an ideology and an approach to racial groups and minorities that results in violence. And you've talked about that in the past. Do you think America is over-policed, or is it just certain communities are over-policed?
Globally speaking, it's undeniable that we use the police in this country in a way that is unthinkable in most places. So, while we may understand it to be natural, as many people have pointed out, even in Europe, it would not be understood to be natural. But the reality is, as you point out correctly, it is specific populations. And this aids in the naturalization because we don't think of ourselves as over-policed if we, say, in a white suburb, always see the police and feel relief and feel comfort. But specifically, those communities that are subject to the most police scrutiny and police violence are those in which the natural response to seeing the police is not going to be comfort. It's not going to be relief.
Can you get deeper into this question of what it would look like to have no police? Because I think a lot of people listening to this conversation would say, no police, that's ridiculous. You can't go there. It's a complete absurdity and a waste of time to even talk about. Why do you think that's not the case?
Well, I think the task is certainly a daunting one. There's no way around that. And especially because, as the saying goes, when you've got a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so when you're as accustomed to using the police as the solution as we are, it's very difficult to think differently. And part of the task is to think a little differently. We can do that by limiting and abolishing fraternal orders of police. It involves limiting those legislative elements, for example, the police bills of rights that make it difficult to even find out the names of police involved in brutality incidents. And it also involves looking at experiments and looking at different forms of how to maintain and uphold societies that we can see in other parts of the world, and even in these experiments as we're talking about in Miami. You've got communities, and a lot of people will say, what do we do in dangerous communities? What do we do in communities that suffer an absence of social fabric? And what you find globally is that it's actually most often in these kind of communities where the community gets together and says, we've had enough, the police are not keeping us safe, we are going to do that ourselves. And so you have these experiments.
What's an example of that, though, in the United States or around the world where that's worked successfully?
There are communities that I can think of in Mexico, in Venezuela, which is a specialty of mine, where community members in communities long suffering not only police violence but also drug violence got together and removed the police from their community and those involved in the drug trade and began to organize their lives in a more collective and more democratic manner. And these are only small experiments, of course, but I can say that I've lived in and I've spent time in communities in which there were no police, and I felt much more safe than I would be in neighboring communities that had the police, but that had very little social cohesion, that had very little participation of the community in making sure that everyone is safe.
In North Philadelphia, George, is there a way of doing this in collaboration with police, or does it have to be a we'll take control of our security in opposition to the current police administration?
I think it would be very difficult. And the reason is that the police, and here you almost want to feel a little sympathetic because they're sort of thrown out there to solve a problem that they didn't themselves create. In other words, the social degradation of poor communities, of communities of color in this country. And the tools that they're given to do that are really very, very limited. And they always almost inevitably involve, if not violence, then incarceration. And the point is here that incarceration is destructive of the community, that it is violence toward the community that does not fix anything. It actually makes these problems much worse in the long run. And so unless there's a way to devise a really radically different role for the police that is centered around de-escalation, that is not centered around the use of force, then it would be very difficult to imagine anything changing with the police firmly in control.
But how do you make that argument to someone in uniform? That could be an African-American cop who wants to keep his job and actually believes that he's serving a purpose in a community of color that does have serious problems, as you say, with social fabric and, violence.
I think the first step is to understand that while that person may understand themselves to be a trained specialist in policing and security, that real community self-control is a much more radically democratic affair. In other words, that person would need to understand that he needs to sit down with the community, ideally with their own community, and begin to participate in decision-making about how that control takes place. Anytime you're talking about abolishing an institution that's so central to the functioning of a country, you're talking about a long conversation with many, many steps and many elements. And yet it's precisely because of the centrality that the police play in this country that even the smallest of changes can bring dramatic impact.
George Giacarello-Marr is Associate Professor of Politics at Drexel University. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
This is Bill Herbert from Portland, Oregon. My community without cops, that would look like the Wild West with everybody carrying. That's what the NRA would prefer, and I say no to that.
Hi, it's Kate from Silicon Valley. No cops here? No way. A predatory element would probably take over.